How we lost each other. Then came a day that felt like a victory and a defeat. The day when Wick and I reached a lull. We had been working on fortifying the balcony cliffs with such all-consuming purpose that we could not now see any way to do more. Our muscles always ached and our minds were sore from trying to see the gaps in our thinking. With each hour of preparation, Wick was telling me that he rejected the magician's hold over him, the evidence of his labor, his time, his effort. We were done, but suspicious of being done, and now truly we had a siege mentality. I felt like I was waiting for a great force, a great pressure, to burst down the doors, scale the walls, or to give up and go away. Perhaps the real reason Wick and I believed we were finished is that we both, on some subconscious level, understood that the quest to make the balcony cliffs safe was futile. There would always be a way in. Still, we had done everything right, secured our inner ramparts, hoarded supplies, anticipated angles of attack, and yet no attack came. No zone or layer we could monitor with Wick's beetles and spiders or his informants registered any rumor of attack. Had we overestimated our worth with the city in turmoil? Were we, perverse thought, forgotten? Was this already a kind of aftermath and we would die of starvation or thirst rather than a knife to the gut or our throats ripped out? Our ironic new source of panic was that, in the event, there would be no one to surrender to. It seemed preternaturally quiet on our borders most days.
That just means they're biding their time, Wick said, not realizing how much Bourne had done on his own to clear out our perimeter, as Wick put it.
Not even a lizard left, Bourne had told me,
and with nothing in that stretch of land, no scavengers waiting to glean. But to feel under siege, even with an undercurrent of futility, was better than being under siege or under outright assault. It could be stuffy and close in our refuge. We had plugged up the hole in Wick's laboratory ceiling for fear of moored proxies peering in, and I never went out on the balcony anymore because I envisioned some homemade arrow through the throat or someone climbing up the wall and surprising me. Yet we still held on to what was ours and celebrated the fact. 4 weeks in and no sign of the magician or her ultimatum. Clearly she had more pressing problems, like being hunted by Mord or being dead. The night of the lull, I left Wick at his swimming pool, still reflexively obsessing over how to get the most out of his remaining biotech, and went to bed. But I woke up with a start less than an hour later. Wick had appeared at the foot of my bed. There was a moment of panic until I recognized him, and then I relaxed. Although unhappy with his abruptness and the late hour, I didn't like how Bourne and now Wick had taken to coming in without knocking or asking permission. It conjured up the past in a way I didn't want to think about. I locked the door, Wick. How did you get in? Why are you here? Wick shrugged, an awkward, rough motion.
The same way you get into my apartment.
Something about Wick's voice was off. In the bad light, my bleary state, his white skin seemed patchy. There, pale, and here, translucent, and in a few places, ice blue, as if he'd had an accident with his chemicals. What do you want that couldn't wait until morning? I asked, sitting up in bed. Truth be told, I wanted him gone.
Nothing much. I just wanted to know if you love me, Rachel.
Oh, for fuck's sake, I said, exploding. You wake me up to ask if I love you? Irritation was the least of it.
I wanted to really turn into a Mord proxy and maul Wick. After all we'd done, all that had been done to us, to get our relationship back to some kind of normal, he asked me this.
But do you love me?
I did growl then. Go get some sleep, Wick. Sleep it off. Go back to your apartment.
He'd been suffering insomnia from stress, but I needed my sleep too.
Wick didn't hear me or was ignoring me or didn't care, and listless, sat down on my bed.
What about Born? Do you love Born? How much do you love Born?
We'd come to the edge of this before. The way Wick's view of Born bordered on jealousy, but I'd never been asked to state my position quite so baldly. I'm like a mother to Born, I said with patience. He's like my child. I tried to be calm about Born with Wick for fear I'd say something reckless and drive more of a wedge between them. A wry grin, a sad one.
Is that what Born still is to you?
A child?
Yes, I said, lying a little. What was the word for raising an orphaned intelligent creature? Maybe the word didn't exist yet. For the first time, I dared to imagine if Born had real parents, and a kind of despair overtook me. This idea that Born had parents out there, somewhere, in a night that popped with distant gunfire.
Thank you for telling me, Rachel, Wick said,
and then he left.
I bolted the door behind him.
Yet an hour later, in the middle of the night, I hadn't fallen back to sleep. I kept thinking about the weirdness of Wick's visit, the way he had looked wrong. I couldn't let go of that. He'd been like a ghost. Not ghost-like, but a ghost. I put on some clothes, went to Wick's apartment, knocked. No answer. I knocked again, loud. Still no answer. Either he was in a deep sleep or out. So I walked down to the swimming pool, just in case. As I approached the doorway, I heard voices. Born must be in the room with Wick, I thought. Born and Wick must be having a conversation. Great. I quickened my pace. I rounded the corner, burst through the doorway into Wick's laboratory. I came in on Rachel talking to Wick. I came in on myself talking to Wick. It was a clever fake, a good likeness, and it shook me to the core to see myself like that. To see me having a conversation with Wick as if my body had been stolen and I was just a wraith. Wick looked over at me, looked back at the other Rachel, flinched, with defensive beetles now raging across his arm. Apparently, he could tell the original from the mimic.
What are you? He was shouting at the other Rachel. What are you?
But I knew what the other Rachel was. The other Rachel was Born. Once upon a time, there was a woman who found a creature on the flank of a giant bear. Once upon a time, there was a piece of biotech that grew and grew until it had its own apartment. And once upon a time, a person named Born put on the skins of two people he admired and pretended to be those people. Maybe his cause was just. Maybe his reasons were sound. Maybe he thought he was doing something right for a change. Maybe. Born, I said. Born. At the sound of my disappointment and horror, the other Rachel collapsed into Born. A spasmodic ripple, a sigh that came from everywhere echoed in the cavern, and soon, the Born I knew but more like a vast whirlpool full of eyes, narrow end attached to the wall behind him, the vortex spinning like a hypnotic illusion. Where I had stood, where Rachel had stood. But that magician's trick came with a cost. Rachel had extended her hand, arm outstretched toward Wick's wrist. And as she looked at me in alarm, as her features dissolved into the vortex, as I watched myself fall to pieces, and as the eyes multiplied, and as the tentacles grew, they extended toward Wick's arm, touched his arm. Wick cried out, stumbled back against the edge of the swimming pool, burned, or in some way injured by that touch. As he did so, a sweeping gesture of his other arm, frantic to keep away from Bourne's questing tentacles, and Wick released the beetles swarming around his body. They flew toward Bourne in their dozens, meant to burrow into flesh, drill damage into him. But they never reached Bourne. Instead, they met Bourne's surface and melted into him, and he let out a great cry, surged out toward Wick like a darkly glittering tidal wave. Except I was there then, between them, Bourne to the left and Wick on my right, mortal combatants. Stop! Stop! I screamed. I could have been caught in a crossfire. Either one could have ignored me and given in to impulse. But instead, Bourne fell back even as he became even more huge and ominous, blotting out the light from Wick's remaining fireflies because he surged out across the ceiling like an angry surf. While I watched, as frozen as if I were the other Rachel. Wick's remaining battle beetles swarmed over his body in defense against the next attack, and there came the slap and croak of creatures in the swimming pool behind him that suggested reinforcements. But there was no further attack. There was just Bourne, rearing back and rearing back as if he meant to dissolve into and through the ceiling, all of his surface-wide eyes and tentacles that branched off and dissolved like slow-motion water droplets, and an attitude of cringing for forgiveness that became mixed with something still defiant in his posture until I could not read him at all. A stench of burnt butter, rancid liver, fading into nothing. I play those first few moments over and over in my mind. Even now, I keep searching for what Bourne was thinking, how he was thinking it. I want to stop time. I want time to stop and for Wick to leave and for me to talk to Bourne without Wick there. And then I want Bourne to leave so I can talk to Wick without Bourne there. I need to know that I understood those moments correctly, that I made the right decisions. But I can never know that. All I know is that I had put my body in front of Wick, in defense of Wick, and I was staring up at Bourne, who covered the whole ceiling now, and who could, like a tsunami, thunder down upon us and drown us in his flesh, if he wanted to. As I looked up at Bourne, there were no constellations bright enough to blind me to him as a monster. I was so close to Wick that I could feel the nervous thumping beat of his pulse against my body and his shaking against my shoulder as he stared off into nowhere. The screaming had stopped. The diagnostic worms were threading through the surface of his skin, doing the best they could against the shock of whatever wound Bourne had inflicted, which meant Wick was semi-conscious. We hadn't been able to feed the worms much for weeks, so I worried they'd die before healing him. But there was no blood, just bruising, and the shock.
I didn't mean to, Rachel, Bourne said, pleading. I didn't mean to hurt him. I wasn't going to hurt him. You startled me, Rachel. You made me. Did I make you pretend to be me and talk to Wick? Did I make you pretend to be Wick and talk to me?
I was shouting at Born. I was shouting and screaming at him because I couldn't do anything else. How stupid I'd been. How careless he'd been. And now everything was ruined. I could see that even if Born couldn't.
I wanted to help, Born said. I wanted to help. I wanted you both to be nice to each other.
Nice, not nice. But he wasn't a child anymore.
I didn't want you to argue about me all the time. That wasn't for you to decide, I croaked,
done shouting, my throat raw. That wasn't right for you to decide. I was scared as well as angry, because something I'd known had been revealed to me. Something niggling at the back of my mind. The times Wick or I had said to the other, I never said that, and put it down to miscommunication or mishearing or anything other than that the person we were talking to or not talking to was someone or something else. The way that had corroded my relationship with Wick brought a special kind of insane distrust into our lives. Now we would have to verify every moment of our recent past, piece together our time together and apart, determine what was real. Born pleading, Born trying to explain, and me not really listening. Had it been Born I got on top of in the blind and growled at like a moored proxy the morning the magician fired her missiles? Had it been with Born, not Wick, that I'd planned the defense of the balcony cliffs? Had he been Wick when we'd slept together? No. That was a violation of trust I couldn't contemplate. Could not be true. I had to believe I knew the real Wick's body. That in tracing every scar and every imperfection, in having him inside of me, that there had never been a lie that monstrous. But I had to ask the question. Born, how many times have you been us? Have you been in my bed? In Wick's? It took a moment, but when he understood the question, Born recoiled, took on a gray color as he said,
No, never. How could you think that? Why wouldn't I?
You're scared of me right now, Born said. But all I did is what you both do.
We don't do that.
You went into his apartment, sneaking around. He went into your apartment, sneaking and spying.
Born,
I looked up at him. He looked down at us, a ton of alien flesh with hundreds of eyes.
I love you, Born said, in my voice. But I'm scared of you and can't trust you. You hurt Wick.
He was going to hurt me, Born said. I know he was. No matter how I tried, he was always going to hate me.
A cold, practical mood came over me. Wick, so warm and febrile, behind me, reminding me of the truth of some things. Should I have let Wick take you for parts, Born?
What are you? Rachel, it's Born. Your child. You love me like a child. You said you love me like a child.
And I disappointed him saying that. So why should it save him now?
You're not human, Wick said, in a gasp like he was taking a breath for the first time, and I knew he'd stabilized, begun to recover from whatever Born had done to him.
But I am a person. Born said. Rachel told me I'm a person.
A person who pretends to be other people, Wick said.
Do you know me the way you know one of those lizards you ate? I asked.
No,
Born protested.
Then how can you pretend to be me? I can look like you, but I couldn't be you without
without killing you, Wick said.
He stood beside me now, and from his stillness, I knew he was ready to attack Bourne again.
I would never hurt you, Rachel, Bourne said.
Bourne understands, Wick said. Bourne knows what he is. He's a killer. We have to take him apart.
Bourne had turned stormy and midnight blue and black, a caustic smell of ink and seared moss. His voice, when it came, was troubled, uncertain.
I won't let you. I didn't, I wouldn't, I haven't.
I don't understand, I insisted. But I understood now. I really, deeply understood, although I didn't want to. Perhaps I had known all along what Bourne had been doing out in the city. His acts disguised by the carnage of moored proxy against magician mutants. These people he had told me about, the old man, the others, what had those conversations been like? Had they ended abruptly? Sampling.
He must have been doing it a long time, Wick said, to have learned so quickly, to have grown so quickly.
Across his features, some reaction I couldn't recognize or fathom, a look so alien and wild and yet mechanical that it frightened me, made me feel caught between two monsters.
Ask him, Rachel, Wick said. Ask him. Nothing comes out of him. Everything goes in.
Bourne had attained his full expanse across that rough ceiling, head peering down from that expanse like a swimmer in an upside-down ocean. The full, impressive, frightening extent of him. I could see now that the Rachel doppelganger still lived as an impression in the middle of him, as if he could always bring her out of storage like a puppet, and that an impression of Wick lay beside her.
There is a cost, Bourne said. A cost for what I am, for what I do. But I love you, Rachel. I love you, and I can do better. I can stop.
I wavered, I'm ashamed to say, and Wick saw it.
Prove it. Tell the truth. Be honest, Wick said. Do you kill people? Do you?
I don't kill, Bourne said. I absorb, digest. It is all alive. In me.
Kills them, Wick insisted. Ransacks their memories. Ransacks their knowledge of the world. Agree. Agree, Bourne. It's for the best. Let me take you apart, you know it. Otherwise, someday, you'll be worse than Mord.
Didn't it matter that Bourne was conflicted? That he didn't want to kill? Maybe not. But the fear stole over me from some almost imperceptible change in Bourne's aspect that we couldn't make him agree to die, that he would never agree to be taken apart, and that I would have such a difficult choice then, and Wick would never understand, even though it was about our survival. Leave, I said. You have to leave, and never come back. You have to. Banishment. It just came out. But was there ever any other choice? Anything else betrayed Wick, betrayed the balcony cliffs, and Bourne had made the decision easy. Yet it was one of the hardest things I ever did, the hardest. Bourne became sea green, and all soft, diaphanous surfaces and reflected light.
But I love you, Bourne said. You're my family.
I love you too, Bourne, I said. And it was true. But that doesn't change things. Maybe the memory of love was enough. Maybe the time we'd had together would be enough. Yet inside, I was panicking already, screaming at the thought of it.
I'll have no home, Bourne said.
I know, Bourne.
I'll have no one to talk to.
I almost couldn't bear it, but I had to bear it. Born, I said. Born, you have to do this for us. If you love us, I know it's hard, but it's not safe for us.
Why else had Born moved out? Why else had he told me he couldn't stop? Why else had he only spent 1 or 2 hours at a time with us the past few weeks? He knew. He knew all too well. And he was a murderer.
I won't ever know another person like you, Born said.
And I felt that in my bones, in my heart and my head. I would never know anyone like Born ever again. And even if I saw Born again, it would never be the same as when we lived together in the balcony cliffs. The way we'd run down the corridors and punched holes in the walls and joked and laughed, and I'd taught him new words that he'd held there in his mind like jewels and repeated over and over until he knew them better than I did.
You'll be better off, I lied. It won't be as bad as you think, I lied.
Wick was silent. Wick wasn't part of this and knew better than to speak.
Will I ever see you again, Rachel? Born asked.
I'm sure we will see each other again, Born. Of course we will.
There came another change in Born's aspect, something only I could see and could not communicate to anyone else. But it read like stoicism. It read like acceptance. He came down off the ceiling. He became in shape more like the Born I knew, the Born that had lived in my apartment and that I had once thought was a plant. Born came close. Born stood next to me, and I didn't flinch. He reached down to touch my face with one thick, soft tentacle, the orbiting circle of eyes, the body so much like a vase or a squid. The colors strobing there now were confident, bold, but I knew he was just trying to reassure me, and that shook my resolve, left me with doubt. Wouldn't a true monster, a true killer, have absorbed us or given an ultimatum, murdered us and taken over the balcony cliffs?
I'll go, Born said. I'll be better off. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. I won't forget you, Rachel. I won't ever forget you.
Then he was surging past me, out of the cavern, and I dropped to my knees and wouldn't let Wick near me, heartbroken and unable to accept what had just happened. The siege from within was over. Everything seemed like it was over. Born was gone.